Chapter 3. Trusting his gut was hard for Bruce. He had an obsessive need to know, and he knew that. He hoarded facts and figures from hours of research and time on cases. He did it so that he could try to make the right calls. Because his gut told him to care, and more than once that had gotten him in deadly danger. And it would get him in deadly danger again. There were some people he could never let go of caring for, no matter their crimes. Right then, his gut was telling him things about their little shadow. Dick's nickname for the entity stuck with the family. They all now called them some variation of Little Shadow in many different languages. They still didn't know the exact identity of the being, but Bruce had his suspicions. His gut was telling him that the Little Shadow was the boy who had been coldly labeled as FBA-P_01. The boy who had bled red as a human when the scientists had cut into him before it had run green. But Bruce also knew that he couldn't be objective, not when the boy looked so much like Jason had when laid out on the autopsy table. FBA-P_01, what a horrifically callous way to refer to a sentient being. Of course, the GIW didn't consider ghosts sentient. It was unfathomable how they were able to cling to that belief in the face of their own research. The Justice League was continuing to work through the encryption on the files and the files themselves. It was challenging to begin to make their own database in a way that treated the information with the appropriate gravity while still using enough of the GIW's system to be able to parse their data. The naming system, horrific as it was, had to be understood to get anywhere. FBA, a full-body apparition. It was designed for ghosts who took on a humanoid form and could be fully interacted with. FBA entities were considered by the GIW to be the most important test subjects. FBA classes A through E all had multiple files that seemed to be organized by how traditionally humanoid the subjects were. By contrast, the P classification had only been used twice. Once for the boy, and once for a FBA-P_02, who had been listed unsuitable for long-term study and marked as terminated. The name Phantom had come up once in a file connected to FBA-P_01, leading the League to believe that it was the origin of the P marker. Reports from Amity Park, the city that had brought the Anti-Ecto Axe to light, cited Phantom as their town's hero. The boy had been a vigilante. Based on the vivisection footage, he hadn't been entirely dead. Another black-haired, blue-eyed teen hero that had died, that might have died again from the GIW's actions. It was impossible for Bruce to stay objective. He locked down the computer, the faintest tremor to his hands, and pushed himself away from it. Time would need to be found to brief his children on the findings. They had every right to know, what with the little shadow becoming a part of their family, but Bruce didn't know how to broach the topic. He wanted a few more answers first, a few more certainties. Even without the information, his children, legally and otherwise, had been doing so well at making the little shadow feel at home. They were showing more signs of their presence, and with that, it was becoming easier to meet their needs. They clearly enjoyed sitting with Jason when he read out loud. Cass swore that they danced with her when she practiced the slower songs, and all the children were certain that when they played board games, the little shadow would roll the dice around. It was clear they enjoyed being around the family. As part of that, Bruce was certain that when he made it upstairs for lunch, there would be a place at the table set for their newest member. It had started with Jason and the other children slipping bits of food under the table, but Alfred soon declared that behavior unacceptable. Their shadow was not a dog, and so a place at the table with a small plate had been set. The food only ever disappeared when no one was looking, but it seemed to be enjoyed. It was never a full plate. They were unsure of how much food could be consumed safely, but Alfred was certain to offer a selection of what the family was having to their little shadow. Sure enough, there was an empty plate other than Bruce's at the table. It was rather full for a weekend lunch. Damien, Tim, Cass, Duke, and Dick were all gathered. That was another thing that the little shadow had brought Bruce: more time with his children. Phantom watched the family at the meal. Watched Bruce, not Batman, the man tried so hard to be Bruce around his children. Asked Dick, golden and smiling, about his day. Watched Tim and Cass fight, play fighting, not real fighting, over the last piece of garlic bread on the serving plate. He had a little piece of garlic bread, too. He waited, carefully, until no one was looking and then pulled it down below the edge of the table. Oh, it was good. Of course it was. Everything Alfred made was good. But this was very good. This was almost cookie-level good. Phantom trilled happily at the taste. When he peered back over the edge of the table, there was another piece of garlic bread on his small plate. Where did that come from? Phantom looked up to see Duke smiling down at him. He shrunk suddenly back. He didn't mean to flinch. He knew, part of him knew, that the plate was set for him, and so the others must know he was there at the meal, but he still felt so seen when one of them looked at where he was. Being seen was dangerous. Being seen meant tests and blades and being cut, cut, cut. The sounds of the meal quieted suddenly. Oh, he must have made a noise. I do hope the silence is due to everyone simply being too busy eating, Alfred said as he swept into the room, breaking the tension of the moment. Though heaven knows that a full mouth has never kept any of you from talking. I would never, Damien said with a haughty sniff. Conversation surged again as people defended themselves or called their siblings out. Without even looking, his attention seemingly on the new argument, Duke nudged the plate towards Phantom. Phantom not breathed, he didn't need to breathe, but he relaxed, like all the air he didn't need had gone out of him in a sudden, relieved whoosh. He was safe here. He was safe with Batman Bruce. He was safe with Bruce's family. He knew that. He knew that. He knew that. Sometimes, still, the fear choked him, made him feel like he couldn't breathe. He wondered what it was like to breathe. He used to breathe, he thought. When lunch had finished, he followed the others, not Alfred and Bruce, he would check on them later, to the living room. He was glad that none of them turned around to watch him. He was still feeling a little jittery from lunch and whatever that had been. He tucked himself under the couch that Cass and Tim sat on. Some time ago, a pillow had ended up under the couch and never been picked up. Phantom curled up on it with a pleased little noise as he listened to the family arguing over the remote. The channel changed as often as the remote changed hands.
For the low price of, did not cheat on my, the Voyager space probe.
Oh, space. He loved space. Hey, leave it on this, Duke said. Tim made a disbelieving little noise. What? Why? When did you care about, dude? Dick said purposefully. Phantom wondered what that tone was about, but he struggled to focus on the conversation with the TV captivating him. He hummed happily as images from the probe came up on the screen. Oh, yeah, okay, Tim said after a pause. The volume was turned up, and Phantom crept forward to the edge of the couch. He wanted to see better. They watched the whole double-feature documentary. When something about the African savannah came on next, Phantom shook himself from his daze and slipped out of the room. He felt light. He leapt into the air, spinning happily just because he could. He was pretty sure that they had watched the documentary for him. And there had only been one piece of garlic bread left, but it had been put on his plate, a plate they kept setting for him. The pillow wasn't dropped under the couch. Alfred would have noticed it. It was there for him. They knew about him. And all that had come from it was them caring about him. Because that's what this was, caring. He gave another twirl as he bounced through the house to check on the others. He stopped by Alfred first, glad to see that the kitchen work was done and that Alfred was relaxing with a cup of tea and the crossword. It was nice to see Alfred relaxing. Time to check on Bruce. Well, the man was more Batman than Bruce at the moment, Phantom thought. He drifted to visit the cave's resident bats before he floated down towards Batman. Maybe the other's tea needed warming up.
Another suspected GIW base.
Phantom froze inches from the teacup. The GIW. Activity.
Nothing since we located the base, but we are unsure if that is unusual or if it means the base is abandoned.
Phantom hardly heard the words over the howl of static. The lab. Send the location. I'll see if I can find any signs of the base and shipment activity in the area. The static cut out. The teacup shattered. Porcelain pieces flew in every direction. The hunk of now frozen tea cracked the saucer as it landed.
Batman?
It's nothing, John. Send the files through.
Very well.
Batman carefully gathered up the shards of the teacup, glad that it wasn't one of Alfred's favorites. The frozen, half-sphere of tea was bitterly cold. This was certainly the most robust power that the little shadow had shown. It also tied in with his suspicions of the little shadow being Phantom, or at least FBA-P_01, were the two not the same. Ice powers were listed in the entity's file. Either way, he would have to inform the League of the display. They were almost ready, having the full range of sensors and safeguards in place that would allow them to assess the shadow in a non-invasive manner. This new power could possibly set them back another day or two. "Well, I was due for a break anyways," Bruce said. They had all kept up a bit of a habit of talking aloud. "I can grab something to eat while I get a new cup of tea." Bruce paused, debating what was the best way to act in the moment. Was it better to speak and risk the little shadow being overwhelmed like at lunch? Or was the risk worth it to not let the little one worry? He sighed. He couldn't let them be afraid, not in their own home. "You aren't in any trouble. I'm sorry that you heard that. We're trying to make sure that none of them are left so that they can't hurt anyone like how they hurt you. I promise you, we will never let them hurt you again," Bruce said, putting as much certainty into the words as he could. "Will you come back upstairs with me? I bet Alfred has a cookie for you." Keeping a stockpile of cookies in the house for more than a few hours used to be an impossible task, but the family had proved resilient for the sake of their newest member. There was a long, too long, moment before Bruce felt the familiar spot of cold at his side. He kept his pace slow as they headed upstairs. Despite the situation, Bruce smiled slightly at coming into the kitchen to find Dick helping Alfred prep an afternoon snack. Dick might not be trusted with much in the kitchen, but he could wield a knife well enough to be put on chopping duty. "Done already, Master Bruce," Alfred said with a raised eyebrow. "I'm afraid I need a new cup of tea," Bruce said. The chunk of frozen tea clunked as he set it onto the counter on his way to safely dispose of the bits of ceramic. The rest of the room simply stared at the tea for a long moment. Dick reached out to poke it with the knife. "My, it seems so," Alfred said. The temperature of the kitchen dropped suddenly, and Alfred was quick to continue. "But accidents do happen. One cup is nothing to how many Master Dick broke in his youth." "Hey, it wasn't that many," Dick protested, with an exaggerated pout. The air warmed slightly as Alfred gave a disagreeing hum to that. He picked up the iced tea that Dick was still poking with the knife and deposited it into the sink. Luckily, a few, or even many, cups are no matter in the grand scheme of things. "No, they really aren't," Bruce agreed. He pulled out his phone to send Dick a message about how the little shadow had overheard something distressing and would need distracting. Dick frowned down at the message, brows furrowed in worry, before he shook the expression away and pulled on a smile. He put his knife back to work, chopping up the last bits of apple and piling them on a tray, along with cheese and crackers. He left one slice of apple on the edge of the counter, ignoring when it promptly disappeared into the darker-than-they-should-be shadows. "I think that I'm going to see who all I can rope into a board game. Maybe even Jay will come over," Dick said. Bruce had no doubt that when Jason heard their shadow had been upset, he would be immediately on his way. "I could use someone to help me roll, though," Dick continued happily as he picked up the tray and headed slowly out of the kitchen, his shadow pitch black. "What should we play? Sorry, Life? They made a Justice League edition of Life, you know." "Master Bruce," Alfred inquired as he passed over the freshly steeped tea several minutes later. Bruce took a sip and let the warmth of it soothe him. "I need to call the League. It's time we set a firm date to visit the Watchtower. If there are any answers to be had, it would be good to have them." "Is everyone ready?" Bruce asked, becoming Batman as he tugged on his cowl. Even the end of his sentence turned more gravelly. Phantom was fascinated by the change every time. Dick, no, Nightwing now, gave Batman an enthusiastic thumbs up. "Ready, B." The two waited, but there was no one else there to respond. Oh, the rest of everyone was Hem. Phantom was still getting used to interacting overtly with the others as he had been doing the last few days. It had been frightening at first. No, there were still times where it was frightening, and he would tuck himself back into the corners and under the furniture. He could tell that it made the others sad when he did so, but they didn't try to ever force him out again. They would ask or offer things, but if he didn't want to come out, they didn't make him. More than once, Jason would settle near to read, or Tim would work. Dick would play silly videos, or Damien draw. They would all give him room without leaving him alone. It's what always convinced him, in the end, to be more present again. It had made him start to consider how much more he could be there. Something pulled on the tattered edges of his mind about... He shook the abstract thought away. He had a question to answer. Was he ready? Bruce had said they were going somewhere today, somewhere called the Watchtower. Bruce had assured him, both as Bruce and as Batman, that everyone there, and there would be other people, were friends and allies. They were all other heroes or worked with the heroes to keep people safe. They were the people who helped Batman rescue him. It was scary to go somewhere out of Gotham again, but Phantom trusted Batman, and Nightwing was there to protect him too. Yes, he was ready. Phantom stifled a giggle and made Batman's cape flare dramatically. Nightwing didn't try to suppress his laugh. I'd say that's everyone good to go. Batman gave a little, noise that could mean a million things and Phantom had come to find comforting, and stalked over to the machine in the corner. Phantom had looked at it before, he had looked at the whole cave, but he still didn't know what it was. It was some sort of platform, partially surrounded by a clear tube. Something about it screamed the future. "Stay close as we travel," Batman ordered, pressing some buttons on a control panel. Phantom tucked himself firmly in Batman's cape. A mechanical voice called out,
"Connecting to Watchtower,"
and then bright light flared. What was that? Why was it so bright? Why did it tingle? What did it remind him of? He wanted it to stop. He wanted off. Phantom darted forward, racing away from the edge of the platform and the bright white light and the sense of wrong. It reminded him of, he was stepping into somewhere, a ring of some sort. Someone was saying something. He laughed, and then everything was so bright and then everything hurt. Phantom jolted to a sudden stop at a thick pane of glass. Endless blackness dotted with spots of light stretched before him. The vastness of it all soothed him, brushing away the panic and the fragmented memory. No, he was okay. Batman had brought him here, Batman and Nightwing. He was safe with them. Safe. Wherever he was, where was he? What was this? Phantom reached out to the glass. Oh, this was space. He was in space. Phantom felt something in him unfurl. End of chapter 3.
Listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't.